Isaiah chapter 6, I believe the Lord lead us to go there this morning, but I thank God for the 1 Corinthians in chapter number 9 that we looked at a little while this morning, and Paul said, though I be free from all men, I've made myself to be servant to all. I just couldn't help but see the songs that we read and sung this morning, He Hideth My Soul, and it talked about, you know, His wonderful love there. And how He hideth my life in the depths of His love. And the other song that we sung also too, the Blessed Redeemer, referring to the love of God there in several places. Oh, how I love Him, Savior and friend. And we see so much that we saw about the love of God this morning. And certainly it was the love of God that led the Apostle Paul to do what he did do. That was the principal work in his heart that coerced him on to become to be all that he did. It wasn't because of mom and dad. It wasn't because of necessarily his schooling, his Roman citizenship. It was because he loved the Lord. Amen. And though I be free from all men, I have made myself to be the servant of all. And you can see how the love of God made him to be the servant of all men. And if we launch out to serve God in any degree, if it's not conclusively 100% the love of God, the reason why we are sent out, and it will never be kept. We get cold and we get dampered by the world and sin. The temptation is too strong and the enemy is too powerful. It takes the love of God to bear the cross. Amen. And I hope today that you'll sense and feel the love of Christ in your heart, working and drawing you to be the servant whereof and what measure he has called you to be. And I'm so thankful to be in the perfect will of God. Take it from someone today as a missionary that has left America. I had everything going for me. I worked at DuPont. I was making big money, had a new house, two fine new cars and everything in America, and had all the conveniences in church. But the Lord called me to a place that I'm happier than if I were to be in America. All my needs have been supplied. When I left America, my family said, don't go to that heathenistic place of Canada. Your children will rebel and they'll leave God and the Lord. They'll turn against the Bible. And it's been right the opposite. God has showed and proved the devil wrong, and those undermining the will of God and the purpose of God for our lives, that the grace of God is sufficient wherever He sends you, whatever place He's put you into, that He'll meet every demand of your life. And your family will be more secure in the will of God right in the enemy's territory than it will be in America or anywhere else, right by mom or dad, if you're out of the will of God. And so I trust today the Lord will help you and encourage you and bless you, and you'll find the will of God for your life. I can't get away from the will of God. I really can't. It's just in my bones. It's in my heart. It's in my life. And, you know, I come to America and have some churches say, why don't you come down here and pastor church down here, and why don't you minister here? And, you know, but I don't have no desire to be in America. It's just not home for me, you know. And I'm closer to home in Canada. The heaven, that's my home, amen. And so I'm just passing through here, and one of these days I'm going to be gone, amen. And I'm looking for my home, really. And so that's really home for me, and I hope it is for you too. And I want you to take your Bibles today, and I want you to look with me, please, in Isaiah chapter number 6. And I trust the Lord will help us a little bit today in this great, great book of the Bible. And I love this book, and it has certainly spoke to my heart in so many ways. I want to talk to you today about Isaiah. And a young man, no doubt, like some of you young folk today. Isaiah was a young man here, I believe. And I think Isaiah had some youth temptations and some youth difficulties he had to overcome and deal with in his life before he could really become to be the servant that God wanted him to be. And all of we are in that state. We have to learn that we need to grow and prepare ourselves for the service the Lord wants us to be, and that we have a lot to deal with in our life after we get saved, that we have to mature and we have to become acquainted with the inner life, the new life, and grow and mature, that we can deal with the issues that hinder us from serving the Lord. Many times after we get saved, we retain a lot of the things of the old life, and thank God for the power of sin there. We're glad it's broken and has no more dominion over us, but yet there's a lot of temptation there, and it's still embedded into the old man. And I want us to see Isaiah today. And many times we see these prophets and great men of God in the Bible, and we think they're so perfect. You know, I was reading a verse of scripture in Ecclesiastes for my devotions, and it said that there's not a just man that sinneth not. And, you know, I looked at that verse and I said, it said just man. It didn't say there's not a man that sinneth not. It says there's not a just man that sinneth not. Well, that really it laid hold upon me, Pastor, when I saw that. You know, all of we're born again. We're called just people. We're just and justified, and we're made righteous in the eyes of God through the power and the blood of Christ. But you know, we still sin at times, and we have sinful degrees about our life many times that we need to deal with and overcome and work on those things, lest they become overpowering our life and they destroy all the potential and the plan of God in our life. It's very serious business that we get a hold of this. And I want you to see that Isaiah, a young man, had some problems, difficulties, and I want you to see today that how God dealt with those problems and how he brought him into a place of seeing Christ himself, and how through seeing Christ, Isaiah saw himself through the Word of God and through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have a text of Scripture as a reference here, and I want to read that, please. And in verse number 8, the Bible says, "Also," and you can underscore the word "also" there in your Bible if you have a pen. Now, in Canada, if you don't have a pen, it's an unpardonable sin. And do you want to go to heaven? If you do, you need to keep a pen in your hand. Amen. And I'm joking there, but we do make people to mark, underscore, make notes in the Bibles, and we get them, and we make sure they do that. And we think it's very important. Amen. So also is there because what's already been said, it is an additive, a conclusive information, what's already been said. And we find that word "also" several times also in the foregoing scriptures here in this chapter. Now, in verse 8, "Also I heard. Now, Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord here in a distinctive way. He had never heard the voice of God before. Now, may I say, in a calling or a direct way in his heart to God to reveal himself, to fulfill his plan in Isaiah's life. And God certainly wants to do the same thing for you today, and no reason why God cannot do that to help you today to unfold the next page in your life, and that you can go on to better see what God wants in your life. I can't get over the fact of what God's done for me in my life and how he still has his hand upon me. You know, Jeremiah said one time over there in the Word of God, "The Lord is with me." Amen. And, you know, when I first saw that, I said, "Jeremiah, you bragging a little bit too much, you know, that going around boasting that the Lord is with you, you know." But I tell you, I catch myself saying the same thing sometime, "The Lord is with me." Amen. And it's so wonderful when you know the Lord is with you. Amen. Yes, amen. And God's glad to abide with you as you abide in him. "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord." Now, it's important that we hear the voice of the Lord in our heart. Now, we hear the preacher's voice, and we hear tapes and messages, and we read books, and we hear voices of all calibers in this world. But it's most important that you know the distinctive voice of your Savior into your heart, your inner man, and you know it's him speaking to you. Now we see here at this place that he had heard the voice of the Lord. Now I don't believe that Isaiah knew what it was to hear the voice of the Lord every day as we ought to hear him, as we read the Bible, as we lay low for him to minister to our heart. I don't think he really knew that kind of experience of sensing the Lord's presence and his voice near to him, as we see in verse number 8, because there is a conclusive or a continuous of accumulated of work of God in his heart down through verse 1 through verse number 7. And we're going to look at that today. And he said, also I heard. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. To hear the voice of God means you will follow him. And to follow him means that you are hearing the voice of God. Now, if you don't hear the voice of God, you won't follow him. And it's important that you are following the Lord, amen, that you know you're following him, that you're not being championed or proudly going for any reason, any purpose of anything you do in this church, outside this church, serving in this community, that you know you're doing it because the Lord is leading you to do that. And you have the passion of God in your heart and love for him while you're doing that. Thank God you can shout all the way and rejoice and have a song on your heart while you're doing it in that kind of mentality of heart and spirit and soul. Amen. And so I heard the voice of the Lord. The Bible says he's saying. So God speaks. Amen. God will speak to you. And I'm glad God does speak. Amen. Very important that we know that our God, our Lord, does speak to me. How can I leave America, leave all my friends, all camp meeting, all preaching, and go up there and not hear the voice of God? There's no way possible I can do that. Now, I imagine all that you have down here, I hope that you distinguish of hearing the voice of the Lord through all the ministry that you're around, and knowing that that God is directly talking to you and how he's ministering to your heart to get your attention and direct you and get you into motion in his perfect will. So I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? So we do have a when of a call here. And the when of a call is when you hear the voice of God. And the when will never be until you hear the voice of God. And then you have a whom of a call, that whom shall I send? Of course, you've heard this, the where of a call in verse number 9. Now, I want to go back, please, in verse number 1 as an introduction here today. And look here in verse number 1 as an introduction. It's very important that I believe that we see this verse. I don't think many times that we study out the foregoing verses before we get to sometime the highlight verses. We seem to preach on many times. But I believe verse 1 is a very important verse to springboard our heart to get us to see how God worked in Isaiah's heart to bring him into a total surrender of himself and to really see his uncleanness of his own heart, even being saved, and what was hindering Isaiah from really following the Lord and keeping him back from really becoming the champion he ought to be for Christ and being out there doing the great will of God that he ought to, and magnifying the Savior with victory in his heart, with product being produced, success in the grace of God, and he can rejoice in the power of God in his life. And really in this earth and on this earth, traveling with the Lord, sojourning towards heaven, and happy all the way through the trials and temptations, whatever it may come, and finding complete victory over them all. Now, I believe that we can. And I believe that you ought to, and you need to have that more than anything in the world. And I wouldn't take anything for that in my life. But I want you to see in verse 1, the Bible says, in the year, in the year. Now, in the year, in the very year that King Uzziah died. Now we can stop right there. Something happened here to King Uzziah. King Uzziah was a great king. He was a militant king. He had a great army. All the kings around him of the heathens, they recognized him. They honored him. And they looked upon him with fear because he was a man of God. And God used him. And so he subdued them unto him. And he had great champions of hosts that served beneath him. But one day, King Uzziah, he got pride in his heart. He wanted to go into the holy place. And he entered into the holy place there, and he wanted to go in there, began to serve. And of course, the priests warn him, get out of here. You have no place in this holy tabernacle here in the wholeness of all. Of course, God judged him then, and God placed a plague of leprosy upon him, and he died with that leprosy upon his heart. Now, I want you to see in his life and his body, I want you to see there's not only one leopard in this chapter here, but there are two leopards in this chapter. And I hope that you may find them before we get to the second leopard today, that God may speak to our heart. But I want you to see here that in the year that King Uzziah died, we find here, I saw also the Lord sitting. Now, I want you to see here that Isaiah was a young man. He had a vision of King Uzziah, and he beheld him, and he saw his reign. And I really believe that Isaiah, the prophet here, was infatuated to become like the king Uzziah. I believe in some degree that he championed him and he followed him, and he wanted to be like him. He wanted to, I think many times we get our eyes on ministries and upon preachers, and many times we want to mimic them. We want to become a part of them. And I think many times we become to characterize our own personality sometime like a particular person. Now, you've heard your pastor today to say that maybe there's something that comes out of me that presents you like Harold B. Cycling. And that may be true. I've heard that to be said before. And I take that as an honor. But certainly in my heart, being under a man for 6 to 8 years, you can't but help the something of him to influence your life, I know for sure. But I've never sat down wanting to mimic myself like Harold B. Cycling. I've never really wanted to become like that ministry. Or I wanted the blessings of God. I wanted his cloak, yes. But as far as become to be characterized and impersonated, we need to be careful of that. And I believe many of our ministers are limited, unhindered, and the Holy Spirit of God is grieved because many times we get our eyes upon man too much. And man began to persuade us and direct us and command us rather than the Lord doing that in our life. And we have ministries, and thank God for them. But we need to see that our allegiance is to Jesus Christ, our Lord, today. Thank God for the Baptist church. I wouldn't take anything. I'm a Baptist. I'm always going to be a Baptist. But let me tell you something, folks. Baptists can't help me on the mission field. And they can pray for me. Yes, I thank God for Baptists. But friend, it's going to take the Lord to help me. Amen. It's going to take the grace of heaven and of God to help me to become to be what God wants me to be. And in other words, we must focus our eyes upon who that we are serving and know for sure that we lay everything down to his feet every moment, every day of every hour, and that we hear his command in our heart, that he has full control of our life, and that we're ready to die, to give, to go, to do at any moment, at any command, and serve him to the fullness of extent, 100%. Now, the Bible says, I believe that Isaiah, he had his eyes too much upon Uzziah. For that reason, he could never really see the fullness of the Lord sitting upon the throne, thank God, for him to reign there, to take command in his life, to be the prophet that God has planned him to be. I believe that Isaiah never really saw the Lord until we came to chapter number 6, and to the degree that he did unto this place right here. Let me ask you a question. What degree have you really seen the Lord in your life? I'm not talking about physical eyes. I'm not talking about the visible eyes. I'm talking about the eye of faith. I'm talking about the eye of living and surrendering and believing and trusting and yielding and giving your heart and dying before the Lord to worship him in your life, in your walk. Where have you seen that to compel you? The vision God's given you to some degree through the Word of God, the embodiment of Christ, taking hold of your life and strengthening an old man and zapping out the self-life, that Christ would be exalted and be alive in your souls. Say amen right there. Now look here, please. He says, when King Uzziah died, then I saw. He didn't see the Lord until King Uzziah died. Now, the Lord said him. Now, I believe there's some kings in our lives that need to die before we see the Lord. I think there are some little kings that rule in our life as God's people that hinder you and hinder me from seeing Jesus as we ought to see him. You remember over in the book of Revelation when John saw Jesus there, hair white like wool, and there his feet burning like fire and brass. And you saw, and you have seen there as you read that scripture there, when John saw that vision, he fell as a dead man at the feet of Jesus. When I saw him, I fell as a dead man. Now those kind of dead people we need in our church today, amen, has died out because they've got a glimpse of who he really is. And there's some glory of his person has shone upon our soul. You know, Moses saw Jesus upon the mount, didn't he? Amen. He saw the Lord. He came back, thank God, his face shone with the glory of God. Amen. How much glory is shining through our person today of Christ? The people of the world can see him today. Amen. They don't see him in you, they'll never see God. You mark that down, friend. Amen. Right. You want to take Jesus to your loved ones, you have him to come out of you. Amen. And they'll see him. Amen. Right. Now look here, please. Number one, I think the king of ignorance, I think, reigns in our life. I think the king of not knowing the word of God, not knowing the will of God, not knowing the work of God in our life, the office, the person, and the work of Christ, of who he is in our life as believers, I believe is a great hindrance for us of really knowing what God wants to do in our life. I believe too many of God's people are just ignorant of the word of God. Just ignorant of God himself, what God wants in his economy in this hour, what the grace of God is doing. My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Amen. My friend, the king of ignorance rules on the hearts of many of God's people. You can talk to them, you can look at them, you can watch them, you can hear them. They're just ignorant of God, friend. And don't know where to find God when they need help. And don't know what to do when they have trouble sometimes. And they do desperate things out of measure because of ignorance. And I believe that king is hindered and ruling. May I say, only one king can reign at one time on the throne, friend. It'll either be Jesus or it'll be other little kings in this world down here. What king is ruling in your life may be today is hindering you from seeing King Jesus on the throne today. Amen. Then number two, I think the king of pride. I think the king of pride has killed and destroyed many preachers, many churches, many young men and youth and teenagers. That old wicked, awful, evil, eerie thing like pride has zapped their life, and they strut around and think there's nobody like them. They don't need no help, and they've got so far and so high beyond you and I, and they look down upon you like we and I, like we're a bunch of peasants, and they don't want nobody to tell them nothing. God can't tell them anything. They know it all. And friend, that king will destroy you today. Be careful of that king in your life. The king of pride. I don't want to be around people like that. Maybe you do. Amen. I'll pray for them, but bless God, I don't like to be around prideful people. I really don't. And you have to be around them sometime. There's all kinds of God's people, amen. I really do. But it's hard for me to serve and hard to pray with people full of pride. I don't know about you, but it is me. But it's a king, friend, and it rules today in our churches. You can feel it. You can sense it. I will not sing in that choir. Huh? I will not teach that Sunday school class. I don't need to. That king of pride. Then the king of self-will and self-control and of self-light. Then number four, the king of rebellion today. There's a rebellious spirit. I'm not going to do any more than I want to do. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm satisfied the way I am. I'm not going to be moved. Nothing's going to stir me. Then the king of disobedience, the king of gossip, is destroying many of our people today. Just cannot keep their rattling tongue quiet. Say amen right there. Amen. We must learn not to speak of a thing until we hear of it first. Amen. Not to speak of a thing, the Bible tells us, and be whispers We should not be that way. Oh, how we want to speak evil, don't we? We love to hear evil. We have evil in the members of our body. We attach to evil. Speak evil to me. I love it. And because I'm just a sinner today, and God help me that I don't love it. God help me to close my ears when someone is put down, thrown down, or talked about, or run down. Don't talk to me about it, amen. Go tell some other devil. Don't tell me I don't have time to have ears of trash can. Dr. Harold B. Sykes told us, isn't that a blessing that you can do that? God help me, give me grace to do that. The king of gossip will kill you and hinder you from seeing Jesus. Amen. That king of rule. Your life, your tongue, your mouth will be used for wickedness rather than for the glory of God. You're a child of God. God has saved you today. He wants to magnify himself in you, not the devil, the world, the flesh. Amen. And so today, my friend, the king of not being surrendered, the king of other things, we can go on and on and on. But let me give you my outline today, please, today. Here I want you to see lordship of Christ in this book here, in this Bible, in this chapter. Now, we won't go into this fact of lordship of Christ will be your Lord when you got saved, or Lord after you get saved. I think both has its place, amen? But here we find lordship, and it's Adonai. You find the word Lord there in verse number 1. In fact, underline the word king with a little K there in verse number 1. It is the fifth word. Draw a line down to the fifth word in verse number 5, counting from the end. It's a capital K, verse 5. And so, friend, we need to get our eyes off of the little kings of this world and get our eyes on the only king, the high and potentate, Lord of lords and King of kings. Amen. Amen. Now look here, please. Adonai means master of his people. And it means here, sir. And it means boss in our life. Thank God, I'm glad I got a boss in my life to tell me what to do. Amen. And I submit, I don't know what to do. I need him to tell me what to do. So don't you see here, these truths are revealed through the word of God here. And as these truths are revealed to us about the lordship of Christ, as God presented himself to Isaiah here, getting his eye off of King Uzziah when he died, in the day that he died, that king was removed, then he saw the Lord, amen. Do you get it today, amen? He saw the Lord when those kings, or when here, King Uzziah died. Now, I want you to see here, number 1, divine order is procured in verse number 1 down through verse number 7. Divine order flows from the throne of God. My friend, in my walk, in my life, in my service, in my obedience, I must know what it is to get to the throne of God. Do you know what the throne of God is? That's your place. Amen. God saved us. Yes. And we sung today where it says there we see Jesus who was crucified for us. And thank God we did see Jesus the day we got saved, who died for us. But do you see him today sitting there for you on the throne, representing the church and God Almighty, his Father, for you today to be your advocate, to serve you, pray for you? Do you see him there? Do you recognize him there? Do you hear him there calling for you and pleading for you? Now, don't you see here, divine order flows from the throne of God. Number 1, it works through what Isaiah saw. Isaiah, number 1, saw some things in verse 1 down through verse number 3. Yes, he saw some things. I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lifted, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So don't you see here that Isaiah began to see some things in the word of God. Now, friend, when you open this book up right here, do you begin to see some things? I believe if you'll get in this book right here, I believe if you're sincere
I believe if you're an earnest believer, I believe God will lead you to His Word. I think He'll show you some things that you need in your heart that you've never seen before, that'll encourage you, that'll bless you, that'll stir you, that'll challenge you, and give you what you need to stand up and get ready to go out for God and, my friend, face this world and the devil and give glory to Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it.
I'll be this book will speak to you, amen. If you earnest. The Bible says over there when Jesus resurrected, He says, go and tell my disciples to come to Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now, my friend, are you at the appointed place where you will feed Jesus? Is your heart at the appointed place where you have given the best, the all of your life that you can meet with Him? That He can show Himself to you through His Word. The Bible says when they saw Him, they fell and worshipped Him. I believe in some degree they saw the dimensions of the grace of God and the mercy of the Lord and His resurrection person and power that they'd never seen before. And those verses many times are eliminated from our going to all the world and preach the gospel of every nation. We wonder why, you know, we don't go. We wonder why we are hindered to go. We wonder why when we do go, we fail. It's because, first of all, we haven't met with Christ and seen Jesus as we ought to as King of our life. Amen.
Amen.
Is He King? Praise God, if He's King, that means the devil ain't no more king of my life.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That means sin's not king of my life no more. I don't listen. I'm not bragging and I'm not boasting. I may fall tomorrow. But that's why He is King. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He wants to show Himself to be King of your life. Amen.
Amen.
And rule, thank God. And demand in your life and pave the way that He's wanting you to go for Him. So Isaiah saw some things. Then not only did he see some things, he saw some things, but he sensed some things. In verse number 4, and the posts of a door moved, thank God. I believe when you begin to see the Lord as King of your life, He begins to touch you. It becomes raining in your life. I believe you begin to see the movement of the Holy Ghost in your life. The movements of the Holy Spirit. The moments of His voice. And my friend, we find here the measurements of His voice in verse number 4. The posts of a door moved, and the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled, thank God. I'm glad for the filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad for the measurements of the power of God in our life that we so desperately need to serve Him and amply serve Him and keep our hands on the plow and don't turn back, don't give up. It's only God can do it. It's His salvation. It's His world. It's His cross. It's His book, my friend. And the sinners in this world is His today. And my friend, it's all His today. Amen. And He must do it through us. Amen. Amen. God has to do it. Amen. Somebody says, look what I've done. What have you done? Amen. You've done nothing. That's what you've done. It's God who has done it all. Amen. Right. So Isaiah saw some things. He began to sense the working of God in his life. Are you cold? Have you been lonely? Has God not spoke to you in a long time? Has God not came to you and put His love all around you? And long seasons have you become despairing and maybe melancholy and spirit in the heart because there hasn't been times of a movement of God and you're wondering what the Lord is doing or where He's doing. I pray today, I hope there's an earnest cry today in your heart. God move. God move. God move. God move. And I'll miss. God move in my home. God move in my heart. God speak. God direct my heart, Lord. Help me today, God. I yield and I wait upon your movements. Amen. Yes, sir, I look for the movements of God. I really do in my life. So we saw, he began to see some things, began to sense some things. And then number 3, he began to say some things. And that's in verse number 5. Look here, please. And here's our leopard here I want you to see. I mentioned a moment ago there's 2 leopards. And here we find that Isaiah began to see the real problem of the whole issue why he had not seen the King of Glory as he ought to. It's because in verse 5, Then said I. After God began to work and speak and move, then he really began to see himself. how undone he really was. The Bible says him then said, I, woe is me. Here's the unholy confession of Isaiah. For I am undone, the undoneness, because I'm a man of unclean lips. Here's the uncleanness of his lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Then he says here, for mine eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Here, his unworthiness, he confesses before the King of glory. And friend, until we experience that movement in our heart first and foremost, we're not ready to go out and serve God. We're not prepared to meet this world with the gospel, friend, of Christ, the treasure of God that God's given unto us to give to this world. We'll dispense it, friend, to the wind. In fact, God, I don't believe even give it to you if it doesn't know what you do. But many good men have sent it to the wind and hurled it to the wind of the treasures of God. And may God help us today not to be one of those that ain't. All of us are potential. But I want you to see here, my friend, number one, divine order is procured. Number two here, divine order flows from the touch of God. Not only flows from the throne of God, but it flows from the touch of God. That's found in verse number 6 here. I want you to see here, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal. Now I want you to see the touch of God is a work of heaven here. Amen. It's a work of heaven. God's touch. We've got to have the touch of God upon our life. Amen. The presence of God means here that God has touched you. To be in the presence of God means that God has touched you. God has came to you. His child today, his church, and God has been pleased to meet with you and to touch your life in harmony with his life, his heart, his passion, his will for your life. And here we find on the touch of God is a work not only of heaven, but it's a touch of God, of work of holiness. Look here, please, in verse number 6 here. Then flew one of the seraphims. That's the one that flew there in verse number 2, the last word, did fly. He flew the seraphim to Isaiah. Wouldn't you like to have a seraphim to fly up on you today? Praise God, just keep on coming, amen. I want them to come and meet with me in a time. I believe they do, amen. I welcome them. Praise God, I talk to them every once in a while. You say, you're crazy. I'm all right, amen. Don't worry about it, amen. I'm okay. You say, you got you cracked up. Well, it's all right. That's where the light comes in, amen. The light's got to come in somewhere, amen. Right? So we find here that then flew on the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. Amen. Oh, I like that life of God. I like a live coal. The touch of God is a work of holiness because of his connecting power here. I want you to see how we become connected with the throne of God right down upon this earth. Hallelujah. There's a connecting, ongoing supplying line of the seraphims meeting with us in our churches. Thank God in our individual lives, our personal walk, there's that connection there. Brother, I am now tapped on the glory, hallelujah. I can find the fullness and the abundant life now. And I can find all that God's pleased in my life. And I can fulfill that, not only the connecting power, but because of his cleansing power. The work of wholeness is a touch of God because of his cleansing power. We've seen that in verse number 5, but let's see the fulfillment in verse number 6 and 7 here. Which he had taken off of the tongs of the altar by his hand there, which is connecting power. But now look here, verse number 7. And he said it, he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this have touched thy lips now. And thine iniquity, underscore, put this in parentheses, and thine iniquity is taken away. And thy sin is purged him. My friend, the work of wholeness is a work of wholeness because of his communicating power. I want you to see here that God communicated to him. He spoke to his heart. He said, thy sin is taken away. Amen. We need our sin to be taken away. We don't need to tamper it, pray about it, talk about it, lament about it, cry about it. See, the work of it still keeping our life, restoring our life. We need to be taken away. Amen. Amen. What's that sin that won't leave you? What's that sin that we see and control behind our door?
be taken away. Amen. God says, I can take it away. And by sin to be purged. You young people, a lot of youthful sins that you're facing today that need to be taken away of your life. So we find the divine order is a touch of God, because of the touch of God is a work of heaven and it's a work of wholeness. Then I want you to see here, divine ownership is professed in verse number 8 and 9. And we've seen that already. We won't look at that. And I'm closing by saying divine obedience is produced here. Now look at verse number 9. And I'm closing in. And I'm cutting the message short a little bit here. Time is gone. It's almost 12 o'clock. And he said, go. Now look here, please. Isaiah could not go until verse 1 down through verse number 8. In verse 9, now he is suited, he is fitted, he is prepared, and he's most willing to go. God has dealt with his life, cleansed him, spoke to him, showed him who he was, his purpose, his call, his life, showed and revealed who is really king, hallelujah, of this world, all of his worlds and through our lives. And now he says, go and tell this people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Now I have a question. I'm gonna end by a question. Who is the people? He says, go to this people. This people. Very clear. We don't have to question it. Right. We don't have to. Right. Say, God, what do you want? No. God's a great God. He's king. And he's king over all of our lives. May we stand to our feet today. Father, we honor today again to be in this service. We're so thankful that you're king. We're glad. We're so honored, Lord, to know that the kingship of God can be our rulership. What freedom and what liberty that is. The joy, the honor, Lord. The secrecy of walking with thee. Just loving, serving you. It doesn't matter, dear God. Thank you for letting me be a part of that. So undeserving, dear Lord. And I do pray for these young teenagers. My heart go out to them. And others of these, and maybe middle age and older, Lord, may they know him and have seen and are watching for the king to come to their life each day. God, lead us in this God dedication of ourselves and our hearts, this altar call, and may Jesus be glorified. For Christ's sake, save someone. There must be someone here that's lost. For Jesus' sake, save them. In Christ's name, amen.